Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So I'll be reading from the Jesus storybook, 1 Samuel 17. Mr. George and I agreed that having the words on the screen may distract you from hearing how I'm reading the story. So if you could make sure that we have our listening ears on, I'm talking to my littles and my bigs, that we may actually hear the story. The title of this is The Young Hero and the Horrible Giant. God's people had some scary enemies, but the Philistines were the scariest of them all. And now the Philistines had come to fight them. The Philistines had a secret weapon called Goliath. Goliath was a terrifying soldier, and worst of all, a giant. A giant so strong and so tall and so scary that no one had ever been able to fight him and live to tell the tale. So there they were, the Philistines, standing on top of one hill, God's people standing on top of the other. Every day, Goliath came out and shouted, "Send your best soldier to fight me. If he wins, we will be your slaves. But if I win, you will be our slaves." No one spoke. No one moved. "Chickens!" Goliath bellowed. "Your God can't save you. I'll rip you to pieces and have you on toast." His beady, greedy eyes glowered at them hungrily from under his horrible helmet, as if any minute he really might just gobble them all up. And he laughed his terrible laugh. Cue maniacal laugh here. "Ha, ha, 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 ha," it boomed, echoing horribly around and around the dry, dry valley. Well, Goliath might just as well have been a green, slimy monster with three heads, because God's people were frozen with fear. Their eyes glazed over and they turned deathly pale. They knew if someone didn't do something quick, if someone didn't save them, but God would do something. God would send someone to save them. Now, you remember that David was the youngest son of Jesse? Well, his brothers were soldiers in the army. And one day when David brought his brothers their lunches, he saw Goliath and he saw how scared everyone was. And David said, "Don't be afraid. I'll fight for you." "But you're only a little shepherd boy," the king said. "And Goliath is a great soldier. How will you fight him?" And David said, "God will help me." So the king gave David his royal armor to wear, but it was too heavy and too big, and David couldn't even walk. And he said, I don't need this," David said. Instead, David picked out 5 smooth stones from the stream. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Took his slingshot and walked towards Goliath. Step, step, step. Now Goliath walked towards David. Thud, thud, thud. "You?" Goliath peered down at the small boy. "I'm little," David shouted, "and God is great." Goliath laughed an even terrible laugh, more than usual than the maniacal laugh. Join me in the maniacal laugh. "Ha, ha, 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 ha." With just one swing of his giant sword, Goliath could finish David off. But David kept going. "It isn't how strong you are or how many swords and spears you have that will save you. It is God who saves you. This is God's battle, and God always wins God's battles." So David put a stone in his sling, swung it around, and let it go. The little stone flew whiz like a bullet through the air and struck Goliath thud right between the eyes. Goliath stopped laughing. Matter of fact, he stumbled and staggered and crash fell to the ground. When the Philistines saw Goliath was no longer alive, they ran away. And when God's people saw them running away, they cheered. God saved God's people. David was a hero. Many years later, God would send his people another young hero to fight for them and to save them. But this hero would fight the greatest battle the world has ever known. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for giving us a story that illustrates that often it is the smallest that can make the biggest impact. Allow us to hear with fresh ears and open hearts what you would have us hear this day, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I was thinking about David, and oftentimes we think of David in a slingshot. And I can tell you it is one thing that I was never allowed to have growing up. Did any of you ever have a slingshot? Did y'all ever do any damage with a slingshot? No. They're like, no. And when I was thinking initially about the slingshot, I was thinking about one of those that you would kind of put on your wrist and you would draw it back like this, right? And that's not really what David used. David had something that was more like a shot put, right, where you would swing around and then launch it out. But I'm also thinking, well, how cool is it that we can basically take an elastic band and create our own little slingshot? And I wanted to look and find, but I'm pretty sure Miss Kathy would have put the kibosh on it, one of those big water balloon launchers. You know what I'm talking about? That you would grab it and you would pull it like this and then you would launch it out. And I thought, well, that might be kind of not so good. Right, in church. And maybe it would take us a little bit away from our story. But I was thinking about that slingshot and how just something so simple could have such a big impact. I picked up 5 smooth stones. Elise, would you agree that they're nice and smooth? And there are 5 of them, and they're pretty, right? And we would think, well, gosh, you know, it's just a rock, right? And that's just 5 of them. That's not a whole lot. Until, you know, you realize how much harm one rock can do. And personal story, how many of you do yard work and you have a weed eater or a lawnmower? And if you're not careful, if you run over something, it'll launch it out. Yes. Well, I thought I was doing something good at my parents' house by helping them, but I got too close to the pea pebble that was around the air compressor unit and launched a really tiny rock into their sliding glass door and busted it. And then I realized how much damage a little rock could legitimately do, and I felt terrible about that. And I don't know that it's yet been replaced, but we'll make that happen. And we think that something so small couldn't have that big of an impact. And in this case, it really did. And when we think about David, here's the thing that I need us to think about. When the king offered David his full set of armor, how did David respond? He couldn't move, could he? Because it wasn't made for him. It was made for the king. And it was really more to protect life than to really allow movement, right? It was almost like playing dress up and putting on somebody else's clothes. It just didn't fit right with who David was. Because what did David do? What was he doing at that time of his life? He was a shepherd, exactly. He was a shepherd. And so his tool for his work was what? A slingshot. And why would David have a slingshot as a shepherd? What would he have used it for? chase away wolves, hit, you know, predators that might try to attack the sheep, right? Maybe, you know, based on David's age, he maybe took target practice at maybe some things and, you know, honed his skill while he was out there, because I'm pretty sure he had a lot of extra time on his hands, right? And so he probably got really skilled with that, because he would just scoop up a handful of rocks and practice. Would y'all have ever done that with your own slingshots? Yeah. So the more he would practice, the more confident he would get with the skills that he had to be able to protect the sheep. So it was a simple tool that David had, that David took to face the giant. Now let's keep in mind that God's people had been through a lot, right? They had been released out of slavery from Egypt, had wandered through the wilderness and the desert, and finally had reached the promised land and were gathered together by God's laws. Something that bound them together as a community, and then they entered what we call the promised land. Now the promised land was not uninhabited when God's people went there. And God had made them a promise that they would be plentiful and multiply and be fruitful in this space. But there were a lot of obstacles along the way, right? There were the different folks that they interacted with, and there were those that challenged them for being in that space to take over these lands. And their challenges were fraught with all kinds of things. Now, on the timeline for God's people, remember that they were organized by tribes in the promised land, one for each of the 12 sons of Israel, right? And that's kind of how they had their identity. But they kind of got tired of that and being ruled by that, so they asked for a king. And that's the very first king was King Saul. And David was anointed king even while King Saul was still in the rule. So just keep in mind the history of where we are, that King David has not ascended to the throne. It is David that will ultimately unite all of the tribes together into one kingdom under God. But in the meantime, David was what we would call just a shepherd boy, armed with a slingshot and some pebbles out of the river. I wonder how many times you have faced an insurmountable obstacle and were really not sure how you were going to overcome it, right? If that's the case, then perhaps that situation that's coming to mind, because I'm sure I can tell there's something that has popped into your head, that could have been your Goliath. That you were wondering, how are we going to get past this giant who is threatening my well-being, my life, those that I love? And we could put on the armor of someone else and try to solve it in a way that isn't true to who we are. Or we can follow the example of David and use the gifts that God has given to us and address the issue. And as I was thinking about this a little bit more in those circumstances, it could be struggles in your own life. As a community, it could be places of injustice, discrimination, not being promoted because somebody else has been, or whatever the circumstance is that's threatening the well-being of community and how we as individuals may feel like we can't necessarily go up against it. And that is when we remember that God does not leave us to do it alone. That it is God who fights those battles, and we are instruments to be used into those places. And as I'm thinking about that slingshot and taking that, is it an analogy, a metaphor? I'm not sure what the right English term is. I was an engineering major, not an English major. But you know what I'm saying, right? If Goliath is that struggle, then what is it that God equips us with that can maybe knock it down a little bit? Well, maybe first it's grace. That when we demonstrate grace It may speak something into that moment. Perhaps it's a word of peace, where there may be turmoil and anger and strife, and we are to be peacemakers into that. Perhaps it's a word of kindness, where someone has felt shame or feeling less than, we may be able to do some word of kindness that changes the trajectory and uplifts that person. Whatever it is, the instrument that we use, whether it be our words, our actions, our deeds, all of it that is launched into those situations is because of God's love. That is God's love that powers our ability to fight these things that are seeming too big to tackle on our own. So who is your Goliath? What obstacle are you facing that you don't know how you're going to get through it? Are you turning to means like king's armor that really won't be effective in addressing this? Or are you leaning and trusting that God is with you through it all, supplying everything that you need because of God's love for you? Kind of where I'm at today. The other piece to this is all the goodness, knowing that God has our battles, but let us not be persons who launch instruments of harm to anyone. May we use the tools that God has given us for good and not to harm others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.